2 Timothy chapter 3, read just a few verses there, 14 to 17. That's page 1855 in your pew Bible. We'll read 2 Timothy, and then we'll look at the Belgic Confession again tonight. We'll look at Article 7. That's in the back of your Psalter hymnal. We'll get to that in a moment. First of all, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 to 17. I'll read the passage. I'll say, this is the word of the Lord, and the congregation responds together saying, thanks be to God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting verse 14, the Apostle Paul, he says to his servant Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word. Then we look at Article 7 of the Belgic Confession in the back of your Psaltery hymnal. That's page 821. The title of it is The Sufficiency of Scripture. I'll just read this article, and you're invited to follow along, page 821. In the Belgian Confession, we confess together, we believe that this Holy Scripture contains the will of God completely, and that everything one must believe to be saved is sufficiently taught in it. For since the entire manner of service which God requires of us is described in it at great length, no one, even an apostle or an angel from heaven, as Paul says, ought to teach other than what the Holy Scriptures have already taught us. For since it is forbidden to add or to subtract from the Word of God, this plainly demonstrates that the teaching is perfect and complete in all respects. Therefore, we must not consider human writings, no matter how holy their authors may have been, equal to the divine writings, nor may we put custom, nor the majority, nor age, nor the passage of time or persons, nor councils, decrees, or official decisions above the truth of God, for truth is above everything else. For all human beings are liars by nature and more vain than vanity itself. And therefore we reject with all our hearts everything that does not agree with this infallible rule, as we are taught to do by the apostles when they say, test the spirits to see if they are of God. And also, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house. So far, the reading of Article 7 of the Belgic Confession as well. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, tonight we are on the last article of the Belgic Confession that deals with the doctrine of Scripture. If you remember, we have been studying what the Belgic Confession has to say about Scripture, about the Bible. Five articles have we looked at so far regarding this topic. And in looking at these five articles, we have covered actually a lot of material. We talked about how God inspired the Bible. We talked about how we know Scripture truly is the Word of God. Last time we talked about how God gave us the completed canon as we have it today. Remember, we covered a lot of stuff. Tonight we consider then the last article in the Belgic Confession dealing with the doctrine of Scripture. Congregation, what then is the main point of Article 7, the article we're dealing with tonight? What's the main issue here? What is it? It's this. Article 7 confesses that when it comes to issues of doctrine and life, Scripture always has the final say. Scripture has the last word. Hear me out. Everything we need to have a saving relationship with God, everything we need to know the things of God, everything we need to serve God and to love God, all of that is in the Scriptures. It's all there, and it's trustworthy, and it's true. So trustworthy and so true that when it comes to the things of God, always will Scripture have the final say. So you take the controversial issue like the creation-evolution debate today, for example. According to the Bible, in the very beginning, God made a perfect world. He made everything by His powerful word. He spoke and it came to be. And when it came to be, it was perfect. It was perfect. And then the fall came through Adam and Eve. Now, today, because of Adam and Eve, everything is damaged. Everything now is marred by sin. But God is busy, though, praise His name. God sent His only begotten Son. Jesus died and rose again. And so because of that, someday all things will be made new again. Creation will be restored like it was in the beginning, right? This is the basic flow of the entire scriptures. Scripture teaches and it assumes a good creation, the fall into sin, and redemption. And we can trust scripture on this. All of this is perfectly true. And so, when a particular scientist comes along and says, "No, I don't think that's the way it goes at all. According to my microscope, or according to my reading of the evidence, everything in the beginning just evolved. And things continue to evolve, even today. There was not once a perfect world that fell into sin. No, the world was and still is continually evolving even now." When a scientist comes along and says all of that, then the Christian ought to say, "Wait a minute, hold it now. I'm hearing two different stories now. Obviously, I hear two different scenarios here, but the scenario that takes precedence, the scenario that must have the final say, is Scripture. Scripture must always have the final say." That's essentially the point of Article 7. Now appreciate, Article 7 is not saying we shouldn't listen to scientists. It's not saying that science is all bad or anything like that. No, 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 no. All Article 7 is saying is that when all things are weighed in the balance, never will Scripture be ignored or refuted or rejected. No, always will it have the final say. That's the point of Article 7. So here's the question then. Does Scripture have the final say in your life? Now, of course, it's possible to misquote the Bible. It's possible to misinterpret the Bible, make it say what it doesn't really say, or make it teach what it doesn't really teach. That's possible, and that's happened more than once, right? In that regard, it must be fully admitted that in terms of science, that the Bible is not a science textbook. It doesn't use scientific language. It doesn't really address scientific facts per se. It's not a science textbook. Neither is it a geography textbook, or a psychology textbook, or a biology textbook. The Bible is its own book. It has its own agenda. Absolutely. Its major concern is our salvation and the things of God in our faith. Like our text says from 2 Timothy, there Paul says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and useful." For what? "For teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." You catch that? That's what the Bible is ultimately for. That doesn't mean, though, that the Bible, from its salvation perspective, doesn't have something to say to science or to psychology or to biology or whatever it does. Scripture is no science textbook, but in no way can science just overlook or ignore the biblical fact, for example, that history is the story of creation made perfect, then the fall into sin, and then redemption. In such matters, the Bible has the final say. And of course, it's also true that we have to use the right tools and the right procedures to interpret the Bible. We cannot read the Bible just any old way we like. No, we have to follow the right rules. When we look at a given text, we have to take into account its historical background. We have to take into account the kind of language it uses, you know. We have to respect its genre. And of course, we have to read Scripture with the rest of Scripture, taking into account the rest of what the Bible has to say, etc., etc. There are right ways and wrong ways to read the Bible. But having said all that, when the Bible is read correctly, then it must be heard. Again, the Bible must have the final say. I'm not saying that allowing the Bible to have the final say is always easy. As we go through life, there will always be things that will really challenge the Bible. A well-meaning scientist, he may want to respect what the Bible has to say, but what is he to do when all of his evidence seems to undermine or refute what the Bible has to say? What is he to do then? Well, he must allow Scripture to have the final say. And why must we do that? Really, two reasons, according to the Belgian Confession. Number one, the Bible is the Word of God. It's God's Word. And so that's what makes it trustworthy. Yes, in life, Scripture may sometimes appear untrustworthy. The scientist may say, yeah, but my scientific study suggests to me that the Bible is all wrong. Well, it's not wrong. The Bible is the Word of God. God does not lie. God cannot lie at all. And so we must trust Him at His Word. Yes, at the very least, we must be patient with God's Word. In time, God's Word will be proved correct. I think of Father Abraham in that regard from the Old Testament. God came to Father Abraham and said to him, Abraham, I will bless you. Through your son Isaac, I will bless you. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. That's my promise. And such a promise, such a word of the Lord, could Abraham totally rely on and trust. But that always wasn't easy for him. I think of the Lord's command to Abram later on to kill his son Isaac, to sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. So you can imagine what's going on in Abraham's mind. He's thinking, Lord, here you've promised me to bless me through Isaac. That's what you promised. And now it seems you're throwing it all away. This doesn't make any sense. So what is Abraham to do? He continues to trust God's promises. He trusts God's word. Even though everything seems to undermine God's word, he trusts God's word anyways. And so he goes to Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son, somehow confident that God will keep his word. And of course, God does keep his word. In Hebrews 11, Abraham is commended for fully trusting God's word, even though everything else spoke against it. And so must we do the same. Sometimes the Bible will look very questionable to us. Sometimes it will appear to us completely wrong on something. And what must we do? We must trust Scripture. We must allow it to have the final say nonetheless. We allow it to have the last word because it's the Word of God. In the end, it will be proved right. We allow Scripture to have the final say because it's the Word of God. That's what makes it trustworthy. And number two, we allow it to have the final say because by nature, mankind is rather unreliable. You know, we pat ourselves on the back for our scientific discoveries. We pat ourselves on the back for things that we can figure out and for things we can know. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know yet what God knows. God always sees the bigger picture. He sees what's behind everything. The scientist may say, there's no evidence to support the Bible. To which the Christian must say, yeah, but we don't see it all. We don't see what God sees. Of course, we can see what God will see because we're too small, which makes us unreliable as a competent authority. So there we go. We allow the Bible to have the final say because we're not reliable. And not only are we not reliable because we don't always see it all, more, we're not reliable because we're also sinful. We have a tendency to ignore what God has to say so that we can figure it all out for ourselves. There's a sense of arrogance there, if not outright sin. So interesting what the Belcher Confession has to say in that regard. Why must we not allow human discoveries and human writings to have authority above or even equal to the Word of God? Why not? Look at the second last paragraph of Article 7 if you still have it there. There it says, "For all human beings are liars by nature and more vain than vanity itself." Wow. Strong words. How do you like that? So there we go. We're not reliable. We don't see it all, and our tendency is to distort it all. So there you go. Two major reasons why we must allow the Word of God to have the final say. Number one, because the Bible is the Word of God. It's from God, and so of course it's trustworthy. And number two, mankind, no matter what he is able to figure out and discover against the Word of God, is ultimately unreliable. And so we must allow it to have the final say in everything. In everything. You know, it's interesting. The Belgian Confession, in its long list of things that it mentions that might want to have authority over the Bible, it doesn't even mention science. At least not explicitly anyways. But it mentions a bunch of other things, and maybe we can look at that list. It mentions a lot. Actually, it mentions six different things. You get human writings. That's one authority that sometimes tries to have the final say in our lives. The point of the Belgian Confession, no human writings, be it from a philosopher or a doctor or a lawyer or a scientist. No human writing may be on par with Scripture. The Belgian Confession mentions custom. Some people say, well, that's the way we do things. That's the way we've always done things. Well, if what's always been done contradicts Scripture, then Scripture must have the final say. The Belgian Confession mentions the majority. His point. If everyone in the room, all 100% of us, if the majority of us say Jesus did not die to pay for our sin, Jesus did not rise from the dead, well, again, Scripture, not the majority, must have the final say. Age is another thing the Belgian Confession mentions. What it means is that by that is antiquity. Some people appeal to a former age, a former time when things were done much differently, supposedly in a much better way. Well, if what was done in antiquity contradicts Scripture, Scripture has the final say. The Belgian Confession mentions the passage of time or persons. That's an interesting one. Some people will say, well, we live in a different time now. Times have changed. Well, not if it's against the Scriptures. And last of all, the Belgian Confession mentions councils, decrees, or official decisions. Here the Belgian Confession is referring to things like synod. If the synod of the Christian Reformed Church says something that's totally contrary to Scripture, Scripture still has the final say. Now, of course, if synod makes an unbiblical statement, that doesn't mean we should just ignore synod. No, we go through the proper channels and procedures to ensure the right changes are made again, whatever. But always do we appeal to Scripture. It has the final say. Now, although the Belgian Confession mentions some six different things that often try to compete with Scripture, that doesn't mean that the list of the Belgian Confession is exhaustive. Hardly at all. The Belgian Confession could add more, a lot more. No doubt, for this stuff, it affects the very nitty-gritty of our very lives. This stuff applies everywhere. Young people, your friends, let's say, are planning a party for next Friday night. It's going to have lots of drugs there. It's going to be lots of alcohol. You know how it goes. And everyone's going, apparently. And everyone is saying, and you're going to go too. You need to be there. Everyone's going. What do you do? Who do you listen to? Who has the final say? Will it be your friends? Or will it be the Scriptures? This stuff gets very practical at the end of the day, doesn't it? Sure, this stuff has implications for so many things, for so many areas. Dear friend, maybe your life is struck with tragedy. You become ill with cancer, maybe. The prognosis is not good for you. And you're hit with so many tests and needles and CAT scans and MRIs, you name it. And so you're thinking to yourself, it's obvious that God hates me. God must be punishing me. God is plain getting me. He's trying to persecute me. That's what you say. The question is, what does the Scripture say? Scripture says to believers, to people who know the Lord Jesus Christ, Scripture says in Romans chapter 8, in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. Who will have the final say? Will it be you or will it be the Scriptures? Congregation, life goes a whole lot better, a whole lot easier if in the end, if we agree that it's Scripture. Absolutely. And so you see, this is God's promise. When we repent and we believe, when we dedicate ourselves to serve God in Jesus Christ, when we submit to the Scriptures and allow it to have the final say, guess what? God blesses. He draws near. He provides comfort. He's going to give His grace. He does so in the Word. He does so through the sacrament tonight. He does so through the benediction again. He makes our path straight. We see it straight. He makes things plain after a while so that we can better serve Him. There's no better thing. Absolutely. This, after all, is what Scripture is all about. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Scriptures. We thank You for the very Word of God. We thank You that this is what we can bank our lives on. You have the final say. And Father, we know that we in and of ourselves, we're rather unreliable. We have that natural tendency to twist things around to make it say what we want it to say or how we want things to go and what we think ought to be the right thing for our lives. We pray, Father, that we may submit our lives to Your Word, knowing that it comes ultimately from You and You never lie. So Father, when we struggle with things, help us to trust. To trust and obey, for there's no other way than to be happy in Jesus and to trust and obey. Father, bless Your Word to our hearts tonight. Bless us in the sacrament. May we grow in You. Hear our prayer, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.